Okay, everybody, let's get started. What we're going to talk about is communication strategies for all kinds of situations, follow-up, outreach, networking. And I really want to focus on the ones that you have difficulty with, and we're going to be talking about those. We're going to be interacting, might do a little bit of role-playing, and then I'm going to show you something really cool, but I'll hold that till later. Let me just share the screen again. I'm just going to read this. Okay. So read the list below, and the list is, networking. How do you do this? How do you tell someone what you do at a networking event? How do you join a small group at a networking event? You might have others, and I say add yours here. So if you've got this printed out, or you just want to write it in your notebook, you can write some of those down. Here's the question. Do you have good answers for these? If not, think of a specific situation that challenged you and we'll discuss it. Remember, marketing is 100% communication. It's often these very powerful kinds of communication. By the way, can you please put yourself on mute right now, everybody, just so we don't have the background noise? So it's often these powerful kinds of communication, personal kinds of communication that we struggle with. We don't know what to say or feel embarrassed or awkward. I know I've talked to everybody about this on the call, and everybody has some issues with some of these things. We don't ask or suggest the next step. We don't ask good questions. We don't have a plan or a direction in many cases. So you want to improve in all of these. And it's not just a matter of knowing what to say or write in a particular situation, but understanding why this is the best or most effective thing to say in that situation. So if you've just looked over these, look over them a bit more, and maybe someone knows right away one of these things that they'd like to focus on. So I'm going to take this off. Hopefully, does everybody have this in front of them? Sarah Jane, did you get it or not?
Because I cannot pull up my mail while the Zoom is on. If you want me to hang up and call back in again, I will.
You can't just minimize Zoom and then open your
It
email?
didn't work.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Do what? Hang up and
Yeah, because it'd be good if if you can see this, if you can see it either on your desktop by going back and forth or printing it out. Do
All right.
you have it, Oliver?
So how do I
Just quit Zoom. Just say end meeting, and you can come right back on the call later with the same link.
I don't see how to do this.
Well, if you put your cursor over Zoom.
I don't see Zoom anywhere.
Well, that's what you're seeing right now. You're seeing my face, and you're not seeing. You're seeing
It's at the bottom of the screen, Sarah Jane. If you just move your cursor toward the bottom of your screen, it'll pop up and you'll see where it says you can move meeting.
Does that help? Because I usually end the call, but
Now it.
okay, there we go. All right, so Oliver, do you have it? You're on mute and you're looking puzzled, so I'm wondering. You're looking at your computer. Do you have it, Udo?
I have it, yes.
Okay. Leanne, do you have it? Okay, fine. Sarah has it. So let's get started. So who has one of those communication situations that they struggle with? They don't know what to do. They feel awkward. They wish they knew what to say. Let's hear one. We got to get audience participation here, obviously.
So the one that comes up for me a lot is reaching out to somebody by email.
Okay, so
What do you say in an email or phone message to get someone to respond, particularly email?
okay, good. So who are they?
It depends.
Someone you don't know or someone you know peripherally? Because where
Generally,
you are on the what do you call it? The affiliation scale is important.
referral.
Okay, it's a referral. All right. And did that person that referred you tell that person that you would contact them? Or did they just give you a name out of the blue?
Lots of times they told them I'd contact them.
Okay.
Or provided my information to them.
Okay. So, you know, if you just get a name out of the blue, or if they say, oh, you should call John, he can really use your services, it's a little awkward, right? Whereas if John says, okay, well, is it okay if I, you know, contact Leanne, see if it's okay to talk to you, whatever, et cetera. Okay. So let's say they don't know much about you, but maybe they've heard that you're going to contact them. So before we even send email, what are the things we have to do before that, ideally? So there's, you know, it's never just, no action is in isolation. There's always some preparation. So what do you think you should do to prepare?
Sometimes I look them up on LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, wouldn't it make sense for you to talk to your friend and say, tell me about this person?
Mm-hmm.
So you might say, who is this person? Why do you think she needs this service? Has she shown interest in this kind of service, or you think she could use it?
More frequently, it's that I know somebody that my colleague or friend knows that I think would be a good match. So I ask them to make a connection.
So you ask them to make a connection. And you say, you know, and then they say, well, you know, I know this person that does such and such. And I know you were talking about so-and-so. And, you know, I thought I might connect you. She might be able to help you. So you want to get her to say that and then get back to you and say, yeah, I talked to her and ask her if it's okay for me to reach out. See, if you don't do that, it really decreases the chance of it working. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it impossible, but it decreases the chance of it working. Okay, so let's say all of that is there. The thing you want to send always is a short email, one or two paragraphs. Not really long and drawn out and complicated. So it might start with, so-and-so, our mutual friend, suggested I contact you. She said you were looking for some help in X area, whatever that is. Then you might put your specific specialty or focus or differentiation or ultimate outcome. What we do is we help such and such people get so and so results. If that's an area that interests you, I'd be happy to chat with you for a few minutes. Here's a few times that I'm available. And then put those times down, look at your calendar, see what's open, and then keep trying like that. Short. Now, I saw something interesting yesterday. I don't know if I can find it online, but it was the follow-up sequence of trying to reach someone. Now, this isn't always the case, but the first 48% give up after the first email. 65% give up after the second email. 80% give up after the third email. 95% give up after the fifth email. And virtually just 99% give up before then. And sometimes it's the third, fourth, or fifth email where people finally respond. So most of us don't want to do that because, well, I'm pestering them and et cetera, et cetera. So you have to make these emails short, sweet, patient, put a little extra thing, maybe lead them to your website. But it shouldn't seem like, you know, every touch can have some value in it. Okay.
Is every follow-up email supposed to be the exact same email as the first email?
No, completely different, but short and sweet, you know. And hey, I hadn't heard back from you. Just wanted to check in and see if you wanted to meet. Here's some times I'm available. And just a thought, blah, 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 something about your business. something about what you do, something that would interest them. So what I'm going to show you, so let's see, where was that question? Was it in the follow-up?
Under reaching out.
Okay, which question was it?
The third one. What do you say in an email or phone message to get someone to respond?
Okay, so we're going to copy that. You can't see this page yet, but now I'm going to share the screen with you. And I'm going to go to Google. All of these questions are optimized for the search engines. And guess what? Now you don't just have my answer. You have, let me see how many responses. You have 114 million answers. So get an answer already. How to deal with people who won't respond. And there's an article about that. Now, I'm not saying you have to read all of these articles, but if you have one or two areas that you keep having difficulties with, use Google, find a few articles, learn some tips. I don't have every answer or the perfect answer. Make it easy to answer quickly. Have an informative subject line. Get straight to the point. Give assignments and deadlines. It depends exactly on the context of what you do. Not everything will apply. Get the idea? You there, Leanne?
Yes.
Okay. So I looked a lot, you know, I spent a couple hours last night looking for all these answers, and I came up with some amazing things. Six ways to get busy people to answer your emails. Top 10 ways to get people to read and respond to your emails. How can I get my unresponsive friends to actually return my emails? That's just friends, right? Yeah. I can't get my sister to respond to my emails. I mean, for a couple of years. She's just too busy. She won't. I don't know if she's mad at me or not. She's just too busy with her damn life. So I don't know. I should maybe learn some of these tips just to get through to my sister, right? She doesn't look at her email. She only uses instant messaging, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I feel the frustration. Someone doesn't reply to email, and I have to send a repeat. So this is a question in a forum, and then people answer that. Sometimes you'll get a good answer. There's a lot of answers there.
So just say again, what did you key in to get to all of these?
I simply took the question from the document. What do you say in an email or phone message to get someone to respond?
Okay.
So all those questions in the document, you can simply copy them, paste them in Google. Now, you're going to get some repetition. There's some overlap, but most of them, you're going to get some new articles and ideas. Okay? So, you know, when I was, let me just stop sharing this. When I was starting my business and trying to learn these things, I did a lot of research. We didn't have Google then, so I would buy a lot of books. I bought 300 freaking books on marketing and selling. I did, and I read most of them. And I read them cover to cover, and I underlined them, and I wrote notes on them, and I tried to figure out how to get through, what are the materials you supply, et cetera, all these things that we've been talking about. So, you know, we're really in a different era of information now with Google. You don't have to buy 300 books. You know, of course, you've got my material, but you can put in these questions. This might not be the perfect question. So you say, what do you say in an email or phone message? Okay, let's take out phone message. Maybe that's too much for that. Or maybe we don't want email. And because most of these are about email, what do we put into a phone message? Because that's slightly different, and you're probably going to get more different kinds of answers for that. 7 voicemail secrets to get a call back every time from entrepreneur. Now, remember, the great thing about Google is you usually get pretty relevant and good results in the top page. Usually don't have to go further than the top page. Actually, can you see this? You can't. Of course, I stopped sharing. Sorry about that. So I simply said, what do you say in a phone message to get someone to respond? And there's an article from Entrepreneur. 10 secrets to getting your calls returned. Respond to calls if you want to get called back. See, there'll be overlap in some of these, but I usually find a few really good things. And you say, oh, I could emulate that. And from that, you write your script or your email and give it a shot. So information is, it's at a whole new level these days. Okay, so let us go back to you. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Robert.
Did you get the email from today with these questions?
No.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're talking, my fault, I should have sent it last night. We're looking over these questions about communication, reaching out, networking, and follow-up.
Good topics, Robert.
Yeah, really. So the point I made is, there's answers to each of these. There's good ways to do these. There's not necessarily one way, but there's good ways. And each of these things, you can simply copy and paste, put it in Google, and find a whole bunch of articles and figure out how to do it the best way. I find people are stuck with this over and over. I just don't know how to do this. The information is available. Yeah,
still hard to do.
It's not so hard to do.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, really. Copy, paste, Google, read. Okay.
No, not that part. The actual reaching out part.
Yeah, but once you've read a few articles like that, or read it in a book or wherever, or read it on my thing, don't you go, oh, I see, there's a methodology I could use. They're showing me.
No. Then my head goes, okay, here's the 6 reasons that won't work for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got to work on that, Sharon.
Yeah, I know, Robert.
Got to work on that damn one. Okay, so what's, and sometimes I have great answers from experience with this, and we're going to talk about some of those and do a little interaction with those. So what is one that you would like the answer to?
I can't see. They're too small for me. My big question, I guess, is how do I appear professional on a, how do I appear? Because I'm talking about horses, right? How do I appear as a credible management consultant when I'm talking to people about horses? And they don't know me. That's not on your list.
No,
but it's just a question of credibility, right?
So here's the first thing.
I caught her.
Where are you, Sharon? You're on the move again.
I am.
Okay. Are you going to be sitting down in a minute so we can answer this? It's hard for me when you're talking. Okay. So when you're walking. One of the first things to do when you're developing a script,
okay, I'm now sitting.
Okay, there you are in your car. Okay, fine. Is to write it down and think it through as if you were writing a play. Now, you don't have to be a great playwright, but I would do this all the time. It's like I'd say, Mr. Jones, blah, 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 or I'm following up with someone at a networking
event.
Hard. That's what I did a lot. A lot of my follow-up was that when I started. I'd meet people at a networking event or a talk. I'd get a lot of cards, and I'd say, well, I got to do something with them because they ain't calling me, right? So I had a lot of experience. I follow up with hundreds and hundreds of people. So I thought it through, and I scripted it out. So that's the first thing, whatever you do. You don't want to be talking about horses. You don't want to be talking about leadership. You want to be talking about results and outcomes. Looks like your screen froze, but we are recording this. So let me, you want to be talking about results and outcomes. So let's do a role play. I'll switch positions. You give me the scenario, okay?
Anna.
Okay. So I'm calling somebody up who I've got a referral to, but they don't know me from Adam. And, or it's somebody typically it would be, so I'm looking on LinkedIn, right? And yeah. I'm trying to find people who are senior leaders in their field who also have connections to some of the Horsey websites. So I'm
how do they have those connections?
Yeah.
How do they?
So I know, well, it's just on LinkedIn. They're in a forum or something around horse training or something along that line, as well as they've got a connection. Their position title shows that they're, so their position is senior, but they've got some interest in something related to horses, and they're in the Toronto area. That's who I'm trying to hunt down.
Okay, fine. Okay. So before you call, you'd probably send an email, right?
Right.
Okay, so the question is what to put in that email. So right. You, the first part, we said make it short, make it sweet, have a core benefit, something intriguing. So right. Tell them why you contacted them. Are they a first or second level connection in LinkedIn for you?
No. They might be a second level. They might be in one of my groups.
Okay, so are you connecting them through LinkedIn or through email because you found their contact information through LinkedIn?
Probably through LinkedIn because I wouldn't get their email through LinkedIn.
Okay, fine. But you can, well, sometimes you can find that. Okay.
Yeah.
So it might be something like this. Dear so-and-so, I'm not sure the best opening for that in terms of LinkedIn. I found you on LinkedIn, but I'm connecting with you through LinkedIn. The reason I'm connecting with you is I noticed two things. Number one, you are a C-level executive in XYZ company or such and such a position. And I noticed that you're interested in horses. That's going to get their attention right off the bat, right? They go, I don't know what this is, but that at least those are two things that I can relate to. I do a program, a transformational program, or a program that transforms leadership through the use of horses. I'd like to have a short conversation with you. Here's a few times you could reach me. Look forward to hearing back from you. So you don't say a lot, something like that.
So one thought I had was instead of saying, you know, hi, I want to talk to you about my program, would be to say to them that I'm collecting.
I didn't say you were about, that is not what I said.
Okay, that's how I interpreted what you said.
No.
If I was getting the email.
No, I said
you. If I got that email, if I heard somebody saying, hi, I've got a program about this, it does transformation, and I'd like to talk to you, my assumption is it's a sales call.
Okay, go ahead. So what's your idea?
So,
I'm improvising a bit here, but you want to make it short, sweet, and interesting. What do you think the best thing might be?
I can do that. One of the things I was thinking of was connecting with them and saying I'm collecting stories about leadership lessons that people have gotten through their interactions with horses, and I'm wondering if I could talk to you about your experience.
Yes. Okay. I'm looking something up on Google for this. This is one of the questions. So let me just share the screen here. We're doing a lot of screen sharing, so I'm really closing my eyes, crossing my fingers so we don't get a crash here. So 4 tips for networking with strangers, tips for reaching out to someone you admire on LinkedIn, how to write LinkedIn messages that get read, how to reach out to a stranger on LinkedIn without seeming creepy. So there's probably an article here that will give you some specific tips on that. Now,
one of the things I've noticed when I've read these articles is about 2/3 of them are garbage. Like, I've gotten a couple, you know, emails to send people, and I read them, and I think I would be appalled if I got something like that from somebody. It's smarmy, it's salesy, And I don't know. It seems like everybody's trying to put these articles up on the web to make themselves look like experts, and yet they really don't know what they're talking about. I can tell that they bought some program and rewrote the stuff, and then they're pitching it again.
Well, that might be the case in some cases. And in some cases, it's someone that's very authoritative and expert on this.
Yeah.
How can you tell you have to use your own discrimination? You know, I look for depth, not surface.
Okay. That's how you tell.
I found an article from one of the titles in the handout for today that has 16 email templates. I figured, boy, that sounds, you can't just make up 16 email templates off the top of your head. So it sounds like there was some real real experience with that. Templates for...
I just did one of those, and it was 16 identical templates, and all they'd done is switched out the key issue.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
it was their book. It was 16 marketing templates. It was, you know, and it was actually somebody who I've got stuff from before, but okay. It was like, seriously? It was 16 identical ones where they switched, you know, weight loss switched in, switched out, getting a girlfriend switched in. It was the same thing.
Okay.
I'm going to show you how to do this quickly and easily and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Anyway, you can tell, right? When you read this stuff, if it's good
sometimes
or not.
Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And sometimes you have to give it a shot. And the other thing is what I just said to, I can't remember, Leanne or someone, is that sometimes it takes several hits before someone gets a response.
Right.
Almost everybody quits after the third email.
Right.
But it's proven that most people get through after the fourth or fifth or sixth email. So, but that's, to do that, it really, you have to be in, quote, campaign mode. It's like, okay, I'm organized. I have these names on a list. I have them in a Word document or something, right? So, I'm reaching out. I have a checklist or something, so I know I've contacted them. If you do it randomly, even if the email is good, it's not likely to get great results. Sometimes you'll actually get response on the first time, but it's more likely it'll take a few times. So the second one might be just checking in again. Would love to have a conversation about how blah, blah, blah relates to such and such. We lost Sharon. Anyway, it's recording. Okay, so let's go on to somebody else. What is one of those areas that you struggle with putting together? Sarah Jane, Nancy, Oliver.
I could say that I struggle with all the items under reaching out and following up.
Okay, take one.
Well, you might have done this before I was on the phone, but the first item under reaching out, how do you reach out to someone you don't know? No, actually, how do you reach out to someone that you don't know and you have no connection with them?
Okay, so we're going to put that in Google. I know you don't see this yet, but how do you reach out to some... someone you have no okay, so let's see what we come up with here. You know, in some ways it's similar to Sharon's question. You don't know them, but you're trying to get their attention. So you see this, how to successfully reach out to a stranger and make a connection. 4 tips for networking with strangers on LinkedIn. 5 tips for connecting with strangers on LinkedIn. Huffington Post, I obviously looked at that article. reaching out without creeping out, your 101 guide to building your 101, no, your 101 guide. I guess it's not 101 tips. That would be too much. How to network without begging. So, you know, the thing that I keep coming back with Sarah Jane is she's got something that's interesting, different, stands out. She's unique in the field. She's a top expert. And that's the whole area of abrasive leaders. And so a short message of on that, saying it might, how many years have you worked with abrasive leaders, Sarah Jane?
15, 20.
Okay. So you might say, for almost 20 years, I've specialized in coaching abrasive leaders and turning them into blah, blah, blah. I'm connecting with your company to discuss blah, 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 you know, did you know that an abrasive leader can cost your company your unbelievable, almost statistic, $240 million over their career. So short, sweet, and attention getting and kind of interesting, as opposed to a long description of what you do and how you do it. Let's see if we, this is in Forbes, so let's see.
Robert, I think that I think using Google is brilliant. I'm kind of sitting in here and laughing to myself because it's such an obvious solution, and wondering why I never thought about that way prior to this this program. And I'm also wondering if you could put together some templates for us to use related to each of these questions, because I kind of feel like, number one, you're brilliant at this. You could do it quickly. And I know I would have to struggle doing this. And I kind of would have expected something like this from the program.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll look at that. However, I want you to show you that it's simpler than you think. Every one of those questions in that document, you pop them into Google and see what comes up. So let's just look at this, for instance, see if this seems valid. Okay, so what three ingredients do you need to be reflected in your outreach? You're reaching out to this individual, presumably because you've heard about their work through word of mouth or an article you read or a LinkedIn update. So she's saying you should know something about them. You can do that with a little bit of research, if nothing else. You can look on their, you can look on the website. You can look them up on online or in Google, and in LinkedIn, read their profile. So that's great. But here's what must come next. If you want to make a connection, especially if you're hoping for something from this individual, do your homework and a lot of it before writing them. And this is often what people don't do. So. I got to tell you a little story about that. Somebody once cold called me and said, "Hi, Robert. I was just looking at your website and I thought it was really great. And I have something I thought might interest you." And then he said, "What is it you do?" So he spent a nanosecond. He's basically looking around the web, calling anyone. He was looking up marketing consultants probably. And just smiling and dialing. Well, if he had spent 60 seconds reading my site, he wouldn't have appeared like an idiot. So, anyway, back to this. Review everything you can about him or her, blog posts, videos, interviews, vlogs, blah, 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 etc. Now, a lot of this is the same kind of information that you'll get from Jill Conrath. She talks about doing some research on these people. Understand how it truly works to find a mentor. So I didn't know this was about mentors. So I don't know if you're trying to reach a mentor. So this might not fit your situation. Take into consideration where your new contact is coming from. Okay. Now, this doesn't give me any scripting, but there's some interesting insights there, perhaps. So you go, okay, well, I want scripting. So you look further. You look at the next step. Now, that's why I think, you know, 4 tips, 6 tips, 27 tips, whatever it is. Reaching out without creeping out. You know, I like that title because people go, oh, it's kind of creepy. I don't want to seem like a stalker. How do I do this? 94% of Jobvite, 94% of all companies already use or plan to begin to use social recruiting. So this is about recruiting. So that might not be the best for you. Nevertheless, it might still fit. Think of it as a relationship, take it slow, et cetera. Here's the thing, you know, you can go through these articles really quickly and decide if there's some real substance here or not. Don't pin all your hopes on one article. Look through 4, 5, or 6, and if you do that, you'll find something. And then put in a few more keywords until you find it. Now, this is job search, but instead of putting someone here, let's put prospects. That's a better word, right? How to reach out to prospects you have no connection with. I think that's going to get us some different results. How to be persistent in sales without annoying your prospects. 4 tips reaching out to someone you admire. 7 ways to prospect for new customers with LinkedIn. Okay, well, that might be good. And this is on Social Media Examiner. Social Media Examiner is a great place for articles because they really have good writers. 4 editors look at every article before it's posted. They add good graphics. This is good, solid stuff from people that really know what they're talking about. So develop connections and meet second degree connections. So that article might be very good. So what we're talking about here is keywords. So you might want to write that down, both, you know, Sharon and Sarah Jane. So here's my question. How do you reach out to prospects you have no connection with? So notice that these questions are like you'd ask somebody, not prospecting or making connections. It's a complete sentence. And Google seems to reward that kind of search because, you know, in their various algorithms, good answers come up. You've got to admit, you know, you don't get terrible answers here. You get relevant kinds of articles that are pointing you in the right direction. You might say this is as much a conversation about how to connect and communicate as how to use Google to do this, how to network without begging. Social prospecting. When should I invite a prospect to connect? 5 sales prospecting tips you can use today. Some of these are pure sales. Some of these are et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Does that help, Mary Jane? Sarah Jane?
Yeah, I mean, it does help. It's brilliant. It's not... about scripting per se, and I think I'm guessing everybody else would find it very helpful if we had some templates from you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, other than the searching for articles. Yeah. I have some of that somewhere, I think. I'll take a look.
I do have one question about some of the examples that you were just giving us now.
Yep.
In terms of writing a letter, you were ending the letter with, here are a few times that I'm available. Don't we want to have a sentence after that saying, please let me know which one works best for you?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yep. Well, okay.
So I'm just going to include that question here. So we have a lot of different sort of subtle differences here. Now, even though it would take a while, some of these you'll find scripting, some of these you'll find samples. So, so what I would do then is I put samples of prospecting emails. Now that might not be perfect, but let's see what I get with from that. CRM ready sales email templates to send today. Customer relationship management. So I'm not sure. Sample sales prospecting emails. Four great examples. So it's like what you're looking for, we often don't put that in Google. So what are the samples? So here's a little preamble to it. How Twilio leverages ideas, blah, 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 email breakdown.
Robert, okay. Almost by definition, they're not going to be as good as yours.
I wouldn't count on that. Totally.
I would.
Well, thank you for the vote of confidence. I really do appreciate that. And I'm not trying to get out of this assignment that you're assigning me. Actually, I'm looking at something that you can't see there. But I'm also going to give you guys the assignment of creating stuff and running it past me. Now, you've already been doing that. You've sent me stuff. I've looked at it. I've given you my opinion. That's productive. I'm willing to do that because I might create a basic template that then you have to tweak. You could send it back to me. Look, it's like you've got to be like a researcher or a scientist when you're doing this. See, my question has always been in marketing, what works? What gets people to respond? What, you know, I tried so many things. I found so many things didn't work that well. I found some things that worked brilliantly simply. I found short and sweet was better than really long. I discovered by testing a long email versus a short email and seeing what responses I got. So I discovered these things. So great to have templates, but you still have to do some experimenting. And then by sending it to me, I can point out, you know, that came across as kind of harsh, and you might not have seen that. Or that came across as kind of wimpy or whatever. So, we're looking for a financial advisor to help us look at all of our investments and sort of give us an opinion about what we might do next. Because we manage our finances on our own. And so a good friend of my wife said, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. But they're an accountant, and I don't know if an accountant is the right person to talk to. So she sent an email saying, Kathy said to call you and I'd love to connect with you. She had no benefits. She had nothing about what she did. So it didn't impress me too much. Now I'm going to say, can you send me to your website? And if she doesn't have a website, I probably won't work with her. I get her, et cetera.
Robert, I'm a certified financial planner and a stockbroker. And so after this call, I want to talk to you for 5 minutes about people that you should and should not talk to.
Resources everywhere, right? You can't get away from them. People are willing to help us. Yeah,
I'd like to hear that conversation.
Fine.
If you want to, we could add that as a free addendum to this. Well, I'll just record it if you want.
I'm things not are going out of control.
Personal things about my finance over this, though. Probably.
I don't want to know about your finance.
But the kind of best people to talk to.
I just want to tell you what to look for and not look for when you speak to certain people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always tricky about things. For instance, we have virtually no money in stocks. We have money in real estate and notes. So it's, we don't even know who we can talk about that kind of stuff. So it's different. So that I'd be interested in your perspective. Okay. So let's try someone else. What's a question on the list that is challenging for you? Come on, let's have somebody. Sharon, you got to mute you. Oliver, let's have a question from you.
Well, actually, what I'm doing is working pretty well for me in terms of getting referrals. So I think I have my questions pretty much squared away.
And so why don't you share some success tips that you have with this? Because, you know, you've been a salesperson for a long time. You've trained a lot of salespeople. Now, when you were in the thick of this a number of years ago, email wasn't as big as it is now.
Hell, I just learned how to use email.
You just learned how to use email. So in these contacts, I mean, we went back and forth about this a little bit, I think, but what have you found works? What's getting response when you send emails to a referral source? See, that's one of the questions, may or may not be one of the questions, is how to ask a referral sources for referrals. How do you start that with initial outreach?
Okay, I had somebody I talked to just yesterday, talked to him for almost 2 hours, and it took me 5 or 6 attempts to actually touch base with him, including a couple of emails and missed phone calls back and forth, sure. And we finally connected. And so yesterday I said, you know, we talked about what he was doing and whatever. Now, this guy, I thought in my mind first, doesn't need any money, doesn't need any incentives, but he knows me. He runs a chief executive forum with about 20 members now, but he's quasi-retired. He's in his 70s. Probably late 70s, and I know a little bit about what he makes and who his members are, and he has 4 or 5 that I know that I could help. So the conversation was after what he was doing. I said, you know, I could use your help, and I don't want to insult you, but I'm prepared to pony up a little bit and share the wealth. And he said, there's no such thing as too much money. Now, I know from a couple of deals when I knew
like there. Pony up something and share the wealth. Not everybody would feel comfortable saying that, but it's sort of colloquial.
Yeah, but it worked with this guy, even though I know his net worth is something around $20 million, unless he's into something that I didn't know about. And from his members, he makes $1,000 a month, even now. So, and, you know, he's got homes in the Pacific Northwest and Arizona and someplace down the Gulf.
Oliver, is he single?
Sarah Jane, he's not. He's got...
We can find a hitman.
He's got about 16 grandkids, in fact, and now he's a pretty straight shooter. I mean, he believes in this order, I think. He believes in God, in taking care of his health, and his wife, and then the rest of the family after that, and then doing what he wants to do after that.
Okay, so let's get back to the outreach thing. So I want to go back to the earlier part. So, how did you know this guy originally? He was a client that you worked with?
He wasn't really a client. I used to speak at his forum years ago and do half-day workshops on sales management for his members.
Okay.
And he's been reading my blog and was all excited about it. He said, you know, I've known you for a lot of years, and I know you pretty well, and I love the stuff you're writing. It's spot on. So already we have a connection, which makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, so let me hold right there. So one of the things that we fail to do is leverage that kind of connection.
Yeah.
He's reaching out to Oliver and saying, this is great. So Oliver, smart man that he is, says, well, that would make it easier for me to get referrals. I mean, that's a simple connection, right?
Yeah, and you know, my mindset was
up with him, right?
Yeah, but my mindset was, the stuff that takes me 15 or 20 minutes to write every week is a bunch of crap. You know, it's like, but
he doesn't think so. And he's a 20 millionaire. So,
yeah. So what the heck? So anyway, we agreed that we would work together and for an ongoing 10%, because he wants to stay in touch with his clients. And he wants to see that they're getting value and knows they will. But he figures that it could be a longer lasting deal if we're both involved. And he's not shy about, you know, making an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month.
Yeah. You know,
he's just not. So now the next step is I already sent him some stuff, but I have to specifically write out what I do, you know, who I work with, all of which I have done. But now I need to make it so it's mindless for him to rope in one or two people, and we will get together in a three-way conversation, and then we go from there.
Okay, good.
So that's how it's going.
But, you know, so now that you've got him, got the conversation going, it's going moving towards a deal and towards a couple good referrals, and he'll earn 10% of what you make, and that'll work. So what was the very first email that you sent out to him suggesting this or trying to have a conversation about this? What did you say? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, it was very brief. Rennie, it's Oliver. I'm rebuilding my business, and I have a deal for you. What's a good time to talk?
That's interesting.
It was very, very, very short. But I also know how he talks and how he responds to stuff. And if I'd send him several paragraphs, he wouldn't read it.
No.
You know, so
a guy that has $20 million knows what a deal is.
Yeah.
The guys like that live on deals. It's like, okay, do this, do that, make some money here, help, you know. It's like he's good at that. So that's an easy person to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's direct, and it's either, yeah, we're going to work together or we're not going to work together.
Right.
And nobody gets excited one way or the other. You know, if it's a fit, it's a fit. And if it's not, it's not. And you know, I have plenty more. It's not. I think the biggest problem that I used to have was I would not make enough outreach calls, and I would depend on the few I made to hope to do some business with. And this way, I think, okay, if this works, great. If it doesn't, I'll go on to the next one.
Right.
And you kind of have to do that, because you never know where somebody is at a particular, you know, point in time or what they're doing or not doing. And on the same note, with another source of referrals, he's promised me that, you know, there's three or four people that he should connect me with, but he's been slow getting back to me. So I just sent him a text message actually this morning, and it was, "Hey John, are you alive?" And you know, I'll hear back from him before the end of the day, guaranteed.
Yeah. So something simple like that can be very powerful. "Hey John, are you alive?" And then he chuckles because he knows he hasn't gotten back to your emails. He says, "Yeah, I'm alive and kicking. I'm sorry, I've been busy."
Yeah, we'll talk whenever. Yeah.
"When can we talk for 10 minutes? I'm available, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're playing the game, you know, you're doing what I call playing the game of marketing ball, which is you're edging around the bases.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, Robert, that, you know, I've been in sales for a long, long time, and I had a sales training company, and, you know, I've forgotten more techniques than most people will ever learn and whatever. But what matters really is that you focus and you be yourself. And before I had these conversations this week, I read through, you know, the marketing conversation, and I listened to several interviews, and then I read through the sales conversation, and I pretty much scripted out what I was going to say and do, even though I didn't actually use most of it when it got into the conversation, because you kind of flow with it. But I had a game plan, and you know, you just you get set, you get prepared, you get the template, you get all the ammunition together. But sometimes you find you don't need but 5% of it.
Yeah.
And if there's a connection, then you go with where it takes you.
Yeah. So what, you know, one thing he's saying is that over preparing doesn't hurt. Under preparing almost always hurts.
That's correct.
Think of everything you could say, you know, sometimes you'll be able to pull that in or whatever, but you, it also just builds your confidence. Okay. I'm pretty clear. I know what to ask. I know some of the issues. And of course I'm going to spend time listening, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to move on to someone else. Got one last point?
No, I talked to a CEO, which, you know, we're pretty much a done deal. I don't have the check yet. But before I talked to him, I did a little research, too, with somebody who knows him really well. And because I was wondering about my pricing and do I have the guts to raise it and all the rest of the stuff. Well, I found that he hired somebody last year to be a kind of a CEO for him. But he hasn't actually been able to use the guy yet because the guy had a non-compete for a year. So he's been paying him $250,000 a year just to sit on the sidelines. So I go, if he can pay him that much to sit on the sidelines, he can spare a little money for me. So it gives you some confidence.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So anyway, that's me.
Thanks so much, Oliver. Good stuff. Okay, Nancy.
A couple things. One, I just wanted to comment that really pushed some buttons that conversation did for me.
What do you mean by that?
I don't want to have to sell. And I know that, I mean, that's just, that's what went through my head, you know? Like when Oliver was talking, I get that that's about relationships and it's that quantity of calls and the persistence that is necessary, but it sounds like sales. It sounds like my dad, he was a salesman. And that pushes buttons for me of resistance. Like I don't want to do that. So then I remind myself, okay, but you know, if you have some emails that are ready to go and that can just be part of a process, some of it can just be part of a process and it doesn't have to be unpleasant.
Right.
So that's one thing. But what I was thinking about earlier is, so for me, a lot of the people that I need to reach out to are people I really don't know as well as Oliver, as you know, these people that you've worked with before. And probably some of them that I do. I could do that. But the ones that I get daunted by are the ones that I don't know that well, and I need to compose this email. And I've listened to enough and read enough articles that several people will say, don't say I. Don't say, I'd like to hear about. Don't use the word I too much. And then others say, you know, you say you. And then others will say, I'd like to hear about. And I get kind of, this is my problem, is that I get stopped by trying to get it right.
Okay, so run them past me.
Okay.
And, you know, when I open an email like that, I sort of just try to have a blank mind and pretend I'm someone, and some of those things just sort of hit me viscerally. I'm really good at that. It's like, yeah, that gets a yes, or sometimes it's a no.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's an absolute rule of I or no or whatever. The thing is it real? Is it authentic? Is it conversational? Is it valuable?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Because you can overthink it. But nevertheless, you know, to begin with, we're almost forced to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, after you've done it a lot and you start to make connections, you realize I can be much more casual about this and it will work.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things that someone said to me was, don't ever ask them to do something for you because they're busy and you don't want to ask them to do a favor for you. And I get that, especially if it's somebody I don't know. Like, I don't want to ask them to meet with me for me. I want to be positioning it as what the result would be for them and how I can help them. And
well, you know, logically that makes sense. But let me tell you something differently than this.
Okay.
I got a few ways to talk about it. Well, there's a famous story about Benjamin Franklin, who had someone that he wanted to make a business relationship, but the guy was very standoffish and didn't seem to like Franklin. So Franklin wrote him a letter and said, I understand that you have a certain book in your library. It was a rare book. And I'd like to know if you'd be so kind as to let me borrow that book. And you think, well, he's asking a favor from this person that he doesn't know. Well, he lent it to him. So what does the other person think? He's actually flattered that Franklin thinks enough of him to ask to borrow that book. Anyway, it turns into a great relationship because of that thing. So when you reach out and ask for someone's opinion or ask for their feedback or ask for their insight, they're flattered. I know I am. And it's like, here's what might it be? Robert, I'm writing an article on such and such. And one thing that I'm not sure about is this. Could you give me an opinion? Well, I feel, okay, well, I'm flattered. And then, you know, maybe that turns into a more of a connection that something could happen or not. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you don't want, you know, so that's an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just gave me an idea, too, because of what I do. I could actually choose to do some articles in some different industries that I am not working in currently and interview some of those people for the articles and get to know them better. That's an interesting idea.
It can really be a good way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm working on a plan with a guy not in this group who's going to reach out to a certain audience to do a survey or something and interview them and then put together a white paper regarding something.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to share something briefly. It's one of the most important things you should know in the world. So take some notes on this. I mean, it's really important and it's related to this. Learned this a long time ago, but it's really, really useful, especially when we're afraid to reach out, when we're afraid to ask people for things. So do people like to contribute to other people? Do you like to contribute to other people? Doesn't it make you feel good to contribute to other people? Notice when I talked about the financial planner, Sarah Jane wanted to contribute to me. I mean, and if I said to Sarah Jane, I don't want to hear your opinion, Sarah Jane, I don't want to waste your time, she wouldn't have felt good. Right, Sarah Jane? But if I say, hey.
And I would think, boy, is he going to lose a lot of money?
Exactly. So, you know, exactly. So she wants to contribute, and that's a natural thing. So, for instance, if you and your girlfriends are, you know, out for dinner and having a drink or something, and, you know, I am really tired of my house cleaner. I got to get rid of her. She's breaking stuff, and I think she's stealing stuff. Then everyone that also has a house cleaner would say, oh, you should get my house cleaner. She's fabulous. It's like we want to contribute. And it makes us feel good and it makes us feel important if someone accepts our contribution. Okay. So if it's true that contribution is one of the most important things we want to do, here's the question. How do you contribute to someone the most? The answer is in what I've already talked about. So what is the answer to that? If contribution is the thing people want to do the most, how do you contribute to someone the most? What's the answer? Since it was the conversation with you, Nancy, yes.
I'm guessing that what you're getting at is by letting them contribute to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, it's a contribution to Sarah to let her contribute to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I could make a difference with Robert. I could help him save money and stuff. And that's good feelings back and forth. So let people contribute to you. And that means asking people for things. Just like what Oliver is doing. It's like, hey, this is an opportunity to contribute to me. But it's really contributing to them to let them contribute to him. It's letting them be magnanimous and supportive. instead of, oh, it's a bother, no one would be interested. That doesn't get you anywhere. That's a dead end. Let people contribute. So, for instance, do you get a sense that I want to contribute to you guys? Yes. So, you know what makes me really happy is when you let me. In other words, ask me for feedback. I'm sometimes sitting around twiddling my fingers, and I know some of you are probably struggling. You know, send me an email. I'm trying to figure this out. Can you give me feedback on this? Whatever. Let me contribute. I mean, that's what you're paying me for as well, in case you haven't figured that out yet. It's not just the sessions you're paying for. It's the contribution I can give you. So let me contribute. I'll be happier. You'll be happier. You'll get better results. It's a win-win kind of thing. Okay, before we wrap up, so a few things. Look through this list. Look through a lot of the items, whichever ones that you think you're struggling with the most or you know you're struggling with the most, look them up on Google, fine-tune your search, see if you can find more information. Work on outreach scripts or outreach emails or connecting with people on LinkedIn or whatever. You know, Sarah, how do you get those people that can give you referrals? How do you get into meetings using this kind of thing? There are so many good tips. If you Google all of these, you'll have enough to work on for a heck of a long time. So don't search on all of them, just some of them, okay? I want to quickly talk about the forum. So I sent you an email about that, and I just want to open it here and just show you if you haven't done it yet. No one's posted a report this week. Okay. Okay, let me just share the page. Okay, share screen.
Are we still supposed to be filling out the...
Yes.
Okay.
You ought to be reporting at least a few times a week. And, okay, so if you look up here, when you're on this page, you just go up to the forum. It's right there. For some reason, you know, I have three forums for, it's for the group or the whole thing or whatever. So we just use the first one. So you enter the forum there, and there's the forum. And all of these are topics. Now, I put in report your stuckness, report your progress, and Oliver put something here. Now, this may or may not work. It was just an idea. Probably more important that you simply start a new topic. So, like Sharon did. So she put in a new topic here. And Horse Sense website. And she asked everybody to take a quick look at the Horse Sense website and give her a little feedback. So please contribute to her that way. And you might say, it's great. You know, one thing I noticed is blah, blah, blah. I was confused by, you know. Just give her your reactions. That would really be useful. Everyone wants feedback. So the best way is just to start a new topic. You just click on new topic right there. It opens it up. You type it in. You save it. And then it shows up here. So make sure the title for your topic isn't too long so people know what it is. Don't put, I have a question about how to. Be really specific. So I can look at these topics and I can go. And I know how many people have posted. You know, there's just been one, the person that posted, three people have viewed it, et cetera, et cetera. Any questions?
So how do we know when there's something new in the forum? That means we have to keep going into the forum to check it out?
Yeah, I'm gonna get back to the people that run this because I found through administration and whatever settings, whatever it was, that it doesn't seem to send an email to the group when you do it, but there might be some way to do that. I'm going to see if that's possible. If not, you know, put a little reminder on your computer, check support system or check email. You know, it only takes a couple minutes to take a look, but if you're going there every once in a while, posting questions, posting comments, putting something on you in the other section, you know, will become more active. See, one of the advantages of Facebook is a lot of people are using Facebook a lot anyway, so they just go to the side, find the forum, etc. But this can have, you know, we can have longer threads that stay and don't disappear with this kind of forum, as Sharon said. So I think it can be, you know, we could have a really long conversation of feedback about her particular website or a particular topic just for everybody. You know, the thing that I'm really struggling with is X. Perhaps, you know, create a new topic. If you just want to report your progress, hey, I got a new client today, yay, you can do that. You simply go here, you scroll down, and you put it in here. Okay, if you want to have more of a conversation, start your own topic. Okay, is that clear to everybody? Okay. Okay, that's it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the recording.